This morning, the sermon title is Live for the Lord, a Living Sacrifice. We have our senior pastor to come and share a message with us this morning. And this morning, the passage is in two places in the New Testament. The first place is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 20. And the second place is in Romans chapter 11, verse 36 to chapter 12, verse 2. So basically are two places. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn to your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 20. I will read God's word to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 20. Verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The second part of the scripture reading is in the book of Romans, which is before the Corinthians books. Chapter 11, verse 36, the last verse of chapter 11 to the second verse of chapter 12. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This morning, our senior pastor, Pastor Caleb Huang, will share with us a message, Live for Christ, Live for the Lord, a Living Sacrifice. Pastor Huang.
Good morning, everyone. Our theme for this year, live for the Lord. Actually, this is the same meaning as offer your bodies as living sacrifice. We no longer live for ourselves, but we have to live for the Lord as a living sacrifice. So this morning, I will share with you why we have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Then, what is a living sacrifice? I hope all Christians, according to Paul's encouragement, Paul said, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, we have to do this. This is our reasonable service. This is our spiritual worship. Hope all people here understand, at least this year, keep in your mind the purpose of my life, to live for Christ. There are at least two basic reasons why we have to live for Christ, why we have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. The first reason, because the lordship of God. And the second reason is the mercy of God. The lordship of God, we can see from Romans 11:36. Paul says, for him, through him, And to him, God made all things. All things came to being because him, by his creation, under his lordship, for the purpose of his plan. This is originally why this universe came to be. Why God created the human beings. Why you are here. Why you live in this world is for him, through him, and to him. But unfortunately, Adam rebuilt God, didn't live according to God's will. He just like a person lost from God's hand. So the Bible describes the world people, they are lost from God's hand. Originally, God's lordship should be over every one of us, but now people live for himself. People make his own plan, do his own thing, forget about God. Even Christians, sometimes you do not obey God's will. You're still doing according to your own will. This is not a living sacrifice. This is not live for the Lord. You still live for yourself. So Bible teach us, Paul encourage us, urge us, offer our bodies as living sacrifice. That means to live for the Lord. First thing, we should turn over our lordship to him. Later on, I will say more about the mercy of God. Now I want to elaborate a little bit more about the lordship of God. We know in the Old Testament, all sacrifice should be killed first. In the Old Testament, there were no living sacrifice. A bull got to be killed, then offer on the altar. How can we offer a bull, a live bull on the altar? There's no way. The sheep, the goat, all got to be killed first. So in the Old Testament, all sacrifices were dead. But a dead sacrifice has two very important meanings or very two important changes. The first is the lordship of its life. And the second is the purpose of its life. Before a bull was offered on the altar as a sacrifice, it can eat grass by himself, can drink water, can walk around by himself, but not after as a sacrifice. Before it was offered as a sacrifice, he has many purposes in its life. He can be used to pull a car. He can be used to plow a field. He can be used in many other ways. But after offered on the altar, he has the only one purpose. The purpose he got to live for God's purpose. For God, live for God is a sacrifice. Dear brothers and sisters, we all live for ourselves from we were born until someday we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. On that day, you have the heart. You make decision. I want Jesus to be my Lord. But this is in your mind. This idea got to be realized in all your activities, in all your life, in all your plan. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I walk, I think, I do anything, not just according to my plan, but we look up to Him. Dear Lord, is this your will? Is this pleasing to you? If you have this kind of idea, this kind of heart, it's very near a living sacrifice. I use one example. I just say, in the Old Testament, there were all dead sacrifice. Maybe with one exception, that was Isaac. When God instructed Abraham to offer his son on an altar as his office, as a sacrifice, when I think about this story, it's very interesting. When Isaac was born, now I want you to answer me, how old was Abraham? 100 years old. When Isaac was bound and offered on the altar, how old was Abraham? Or I ask, how old was Isaac? You don't know? The Bible says he was a young man. He was a boy. The Hebrew word, na'ar, can be teenagers. But we can guess he was about 15 years old. How can I say that? Because the Bible says Abraham put the wood for the burnt offerings on his head, on his back, so he can bear those woods. Also climb up to the mountain, I think about 15. Abraham was around 115 years old. Isaac was 15 when Isaac asked his father, here is the wood for the burnt sacrifice. Where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? I think Abraham was very difficult to answer that question. I think he doesn't want to say, that's you. You will be the lamb. So Abraham said, the God will prepare. Our Lord will prepare. But when come to the place, come to the big stone, Abraham had to answer this question and had to tell him, my dear son Isaac, you are the lamb. I will bind you. I will offer you on the altar. Now you think, what if Isaac ran away when he heard, I will become a sacrifice. I don't want to be a sacrifice. I don't want to be bound. I don't want to be put on the altar. And then I don't want to be killed. And I don't want to be burned. He turned, ran away. Now answer my question. Can Abraham catch Isaac if he runs away? Can Abraham or not? There's no way. If you run away, I cannot catch you. I'm only 70 years old. 115 old man is no way to catch 15 years young boy. But when Isaac heard, he was the lamb. He was willingly to be bonded by his father. He was willingly to be offered on an altar. This is a living sacrifice. Are you willing to do our God's will instead of your own? Are you willing to be like a sheep, like a lamb, be bonded, put on an altar? Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you to do that. Why? Because the sovereignty, lordship of our God. Why we exist? Because God created the human being. God is the sovereign law of this universe and also the sovereign law of you. If you really know God, the meaning of God, you should be willing to offer yourselves, doing things according to His will. This is something not very easy, but this is so those who knows the truth, knows who God is, later on I will say, knows what God has done for you, we are willing to do that. But the first, He is the Almighty God. He is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. He is the Lord of the whole universe. He is the Lord of you. You just return the Lordship to Him because we originally belong to Him. Just make an example. For instance, this is my pen. If I forgot I left here, and later on James Shaw took it, then I come back. I say, James, I want this back. He said, oh, no way, I want it. This is very good to be used. Then he became an unreasonable people. If he returned this to me, it's a reasonable thing to do. Dear brothers and sisters, Almighty God, Creator of this universe, He is your Lord. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. Now we return the Lordship to Him. So the Bible says, this is our reasonable service. If you don't do that, you become unreasonable. Now answer my question. A Christian should be reasonable or unreasonable? Please answer me. Okay. You are right. You are very right. But if you are not doing as Paul urged, offer our body as a living sacrifice, you are reasonable or unreasonable. You don't want to answer me, and I answer for you. It's unreasonable. So this is the first reason. Now the second one, Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ. The love of Christ is the expression of the mercy of God. Paul said, therefore, we know this adverb connect context. The context before that, one context is the Lordship of the Lord. I already said. But another context is from Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11. The whole Bible, whole Romans, tell you the mercy of God. What is the mercy of God? Originally, we all were sinners. We all dead in our sins. All our sins come short of the glory of God. Originally, we under God's judgment, we should be punished for our sins. But God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for the atonement, a propitiation. By His blood, through our faith, we can be justified. Not only that, the Holy Spirit lead us, help us. Christians can gradually sanctified, can get sanctification. Not only that, God will prepare eternal glory for us. On this earth, we're only 80 years old or 90 years, but for eternal, we can stay with our Lord. We can be in the glory of heaven the Lord will prepare for us. This is what Paul said from Romans chapter 1 through chapter 8. Not only that, Bible tells us the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart. The Holy Spirit helps us to grow gradually like our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we on this earth, we can manifest the glory of God. The glorious life of God is our Jesus Christ life can express through us. This is the mercy of God. Paul said, therefore, I urge you, in view of the mercy of God. If you think about what God has done for us, you have to think, all this accomplished is by Lord Jesus Christ. He was nailed on the cross. The Son of God, He was willing to come to this earth, and He obeyed God's commandment, go to Gethsemane, then go to Golgotha, and then He was nailed. He died for us. So Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. The love of Christ controls me. The love of Christ constrains me. I have to do this. I want to live for Christ, not for ourselves. There was a very famous painting. The painting describes when our Lord Jesus was flogged. Pilate asked the soldiers to flog Lord Jesus. Then the soldier put a crown, is made by throne, on Lord Jesus' head. So his blood is all over his body. Then Pilate asked the soldiers, put a purple cloth on Jesus Christ. Then Pilate take Jesus to the people, to the crowd, say, look, this man is in John 19. Look, this man. So some great painter, through the imagination, draw this picture. Our Lord Jesus was flogged, wearing a throne crown and the purple cloth. This picture is very famous. The title is Look This Man, but in Latin is Ecce Homo. Was in the art gallery in Germany, in Düsseldorf, Germany. In 1720, a very famous Christian went to the art gallery. His name was Zinzendorf. I don't know whether you heard his name or not. He was a very famous Christian. He was a duke. He inherited a lot of land, a lot of property. So he is a very wealthy person. But he is a very good Christian. At the age around 20, he watched this picture, watched this painting, watched the blood all over our Lord Jesus Christ. And under this painting, there is a sentence. For you, I have done this. For me, what will you do? Zinzendorf felt the Lord Jesus was speaking to him. So he kneeled down before the Lord and vowed, dear Lord, I want to live for you. and only for you. I want to live my life for you and only for you. He went back to his property, his land. He dedicated everything to God. At that time, many people was persecuted by the Catholic Church. So, no place to stay. He let all of them stay in his property. These people we called the Moravia Brethren. Then Zinzendorf became the leader of that group. That was from 1730, about that time, 1730. And this group, the Moravia Brethren, became the earliest Protestant Christian mission center. Within 150 years, they sent out almost 2,000 missionaries all over the world. Follow our Lord Jesus' commandment to the end of the earth. They keep sending out missionaries, one family, one family. They support themselves. They can do many things. Some are carpenter and some can do different things. Around 2,000 missionaries. This is a very big movement, mission movement for the Protestant Christian Church. After that, William Carey went to India. Robert Morrison went to China. Then many, many missionaries came out. Like Livingston went to Africa. Then Hudson Taylor went to China. But the Moravian Brethren was the first, was the earliest Christian movement, mission movement in Protestant church. Was influenced by one person. This person's name, Zinzendorf. Why? Because the love of Christ compels him. Because the love of Christ controls him. Because he watched the painting. And the picture always in his mind. Jesus died for me on the cross. He rose again. For me, I don't want to live for myself. I only want to live for Christ. Hope all dear brothers and sisters use your time to meditate the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, thinking he died for me, so all dead. We die to the world. We die to ourselves. We die to sin. We die to the plan of Satan. We only live for Christ, live for God's will. If you have this heart, this is what Paul taught us. So, dear brothers and sisters, why we have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice? Why we have to live for the Lord? Because the first reason, the sovereignty, lordship of the God, of the Lord. And the second is the love of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord. We got to do that. Now I come to the second important point. What is a living sacrifice? Since the time is very limited, I will make short this part. But I will tell you most important things. There are four things very important. What is a living sacrifice? The first, you have to die to yourself. The second, you have to die to the world or the pattern of the world. The third, you have to live to God. The fourth, you have to live for God. Die to yourself. Die to the world. Live to the Lord. Live for the Lord. A living sacrifice actually is a contradictory term. Why we say that? Because any sacrifice should be dead. But a living thing should be alive. So could you answer me? Is a living sacrifice dead or alive? You don't understand my question? A sacrifice should be dead. A living thing should be alive. A living sacrifice should be dead or alive? Both. Good. Very good answer. Yeah. Maybe I already give you some hint. In the 4 points, the first two should be dead. Die to yourself. Die to the world. The last two things, we should be alive to God. We should be alive for God. Die to yourself. I don't want to spend more time. I already said, like Isaac. Isaac died to his own idea, his own plan, his own thinking, his own will. Just accept his father's arrangement. Just accept his father's will. In the New Testament, the best example is our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was born, the Bible said, Jesus said, I came to do your will, O God. It's in Hebrew, chapter 10. Then, all through Christ's life, he was doing God's will. He do nothing for himself. He do nothing according to his own plan. Because he said so, I do not want to please myself. Just please the one who sent me. I do not do the things according to my will. Just do the things according to my Father's will. Even in the Gethsemane, how he prayed. He knew how painful the cross is. Not only physically, but also he will be separate from his Father. So he prayed. He said, Father, if it is possible, please take this cup away. But not as I will, only as you will. This is the best example of a living sacrifice. Sometimes our plan, our will, do not contradict with God's plan, God's will. You can do it. It's no problem. For instance, for breakfast, you like to drink milk. You can drink milk. And some people would like to drink bean milk. You can drink bean milk. And some people like coffee. Some people like just water. You can do things. It's no problem. Nothing against God. But if anything you plan is not God's will, against God's will, you have died to yourself. For instance, some young people like, I don't know, not here, no one like, I mean, example, if someone likes gambling, always go to Atlantic City, right? Am I right? Atlantic, right? Oh, this is your will. It's your plan. This afternoon, I can drive to that city about 2 hours. I went there once. People took me to see the seashore, not the gambling stuff. I won't go to gambling. This is your plan. You have died to your plan. Die to yourself. Anything is not God's will, against God's will, you have to die. That's the living sacrifice. I don't have time to elaborate too many things. We should not envy other people. We should not hate other people. We should not become greedy. All those things, you have to die. Die to yourself. Not only to yourself, but to this world. What does world mean? World is not the land or mountain or tree or flower, etc. No. The world means the value system of the world, the pattern of the world. I think you remember once Paul said, to me, the world was crucified on the cross. And so the world to me, so I to the world. How come the world can be crucified? What does it mean? If you read the context, Paul said, circumcision or uncircumcision, it doesn't matter. Keep Sabbath or do not keep the Sabbath, does not matter. Obey the food rule, what is clean, what is not clean, is not important. The important is being a new creation. Live a new life. What does it mean? That means Jewish people has their value system. They thought circumcision is very important. And they thought keep Sabbath is very important. They thought eat exactly the food record on the OT is very important. But Paul said that's not important. What is important is faith in Christ. We only justified by the faith in Christ Jesus. If you do all those things, do not believe Jesus, that's not important. That's the system value, the value system of the world. Now we have to die to the world. I will mention quickly two things, especially lots of young people here. But I don't see our young people do the wrong thing I want to mention. So I dare to say. One is the confusion in lifestyle. Many young people is very strange now. Okay, not you. I say you are correct. You are a good one. You are normal. When I travel in the States or in the Europe, I saw many young people. Now the earring usually should be put on their ear. Now, no, they put on their lips, right? Even eyebrow. Some even put on their nose. In the old time, only a cow put a ring on the nose to be pulling around. But now, they just do some weird things. I don't see anyone here. Praise God. We don't learn this world pattern. This is the value system of this world. We don't do that. The second thing, I saw some young people, the tattoo. I love to watch NBA or NFL. Do you watch that? You are too young, right? You don't like the excitement of the football or the basketball. But I like to watch that. But now I don't like those players. Lots of famous players. Their arm full of tattoo, different kinds of tattoo. Even write some Chinese character on that. I don't know if they understand or not. The Bible forbid us to do that. Tattoo is not allowed in the Bible. It was forbidden. I'm glad no young people doing things like that. And also, I want to say, especially to our young brothers, I don't see any people here where they keep very long hair. Young men, we should cut our hair. This from from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We don't make hair very long. like sisters. I have a good friend. He is a pastor. He used to invite me to preach, but he said, "Pastor Huang, pray one thing for me." I said, "What?" He said, "Come, I introduce my son to you." At that time, his son is a high schooler. This young man loved music, but only play rock and roll, play guitar very well, and always moving. And I don't know, he's a good musician, but his hair is very long. If you look from his back, you cannot distinguish is a girl or a boy. So the pastor friend told me, "Pastor Huang, pray for my son. Hope someday he can cut his hair." But for many years, I keep going to his church to preach. I still watch his son with long hair. So the prayer was not effective at that time. But one day, I went to that church. I saw his son, the hair was cut. And I asked his father, what happened to your son? He said, "Oh, 2 weeks ago, our church sent a mission group, a young people group to Southeast Asia to preach gospel. Probably someone looked him and from his back and called him, 'Oh, sister, come here. Sister, come here. I need your help.'" And then he said, "Oh, I am not a sister. Why you call me sister?" "Then come back, cut his hair. Then you can call me brother." Okay. But thank God. Anyway, the Lord changed him. He do not keep his long hair. I hope all young men be like a young man. We do things according to the Bible's teaching. Speaking about the hair, I remember a story. This story is a 18-year young man. He has a very long hair. And a few months later, he will be his birthday. So he came to his father. "My 18-year birthday, I want a gift." Father said, "What you want?" He said, "I want a car. I need a car to go around." Father said, "Okay, I will give you a car. You are 18. But under three conditions. The first, you come home every night before 10. Usually, he came home very late. The second condition, you get any course, an A, back to me. Usually, you got a C or B plus at most. No A." So he said, "Okay, I will try." The third, cut your hair. So after a few months, he kept the promise, came home before 10 every day. And second, he worked very hard on an easy course, so got an A back. Now the third, he didn't cut his hair. He said, "Father, I'm 18 years old. You promised a car." Father said, "Yeah, but your hair hasn't been cut." Then he complained to his father, "When I was very young, you took me to the church. I grew up in the church, but in our church, there are many paintings. One Lord Jesus Christ, one John the Baptist. They all very long hair. I just follow them." So the father don't know how to say. "It's right in the picture, Jesus and John the Baptist, all very long hair." And suddenly he got a wisdom. He said, "Oh, okay, you follow them. Lord Jesus and John Baptist never drive a car. They always walk. Okay. So you just follow them." This is just a joke. But I don't see any young man here with long hair. Thank God. This is only an example. Doing everything for the Lord Do the things, let the law be pleased, not please ourselves. In this world, many value is very wrong. I just mentioned a little bit. For instance, premarital sex. This is forbidden in the Bible. Dear young men, young women, my dear brother and sisters, remember, no premarital sex. And the second, if you're not married, don't live together. Cohabitation is a very serious wrong thing. But in the States, it's quite common now. 50 years ago, in the States, only 400,000 couples, they live together without marriage. But now, more than 5 million is an important thing. But I think no one here do that. But I just warn you, precaution, don't do that. Don't do abortion, homosexuality, all those things. Not the value of our God. Not the value of the Bible. Not the correct value of a Christian. Then we live to the Lord. I just very briefly say, I think long time ago I already encouraged you, keep your quiet time. Keep your devotion time every day. Read your Bible, pray to the Lord. Now answer me every day at least for how long? Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, you still remember the word. Very important, very important. Then the renewing of your mind will change you. We can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How can your mind be renewed? By the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. So keep 30 minutes, read your Bible, pray to the Lord, let the Holy Spirit working in your heart renew your mind, then your whole person will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Not by yourself, not by my power, only by God's power. The last thing. Live your life for Christ, just for Christ, doing everything. No matter what job you are doing, no matter what role you are playing, you may be an engineer or a teacher or a lawyer or a doctor, anything you, no matter what job you are doing, no matter what role you are playing, you are a husband or a wife, a parent, a child, anything, any role, remember, do everything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Do your best and be pleasing to Him. The last story, I will close the sermon. In the medieval time, in Bavaria, is southern Germany, is a small kingdom. There was a king. This king was very interesting. Why is very interesting? He doesn't want to be king. He said, oh, being a king, too much trouble. You have to care for your people, the economy, the politics, all the people's education, everything. He said, too much trouble. So, not only he wants to resign, but he wants to become a monk. He wants to go to a monastery, become a monk. So he went to a monastery in the country. The abbot was afraid. Oh, you are the king. How can you come to my place? Tell him, you cannot endure our life here. We got to get up 5 o'clock every morning. We have to clean our own bed. We have to clean the whole environment. We have to go to the field to do lots of very difficult work. But the king said, no, I want to come. And tomorrow I want to come. The president of the monastery, the abbot, said, okay, if you come, one condition. All the monks in this monastery obey to me. If I give any command, they all have to obey. Are you willing to do that? He said, okay, I will obey you totally. So the next day, the king came and moved in. The abbot said, come to my office. Give you the first order. You have to obey. The order is, go back to your palace. Be a good king. One difference, before you do the job for yourself, from now on, be a good king for the Lord. Everything doing in one heart, pleasing the Lord. The king went back, of course, with reluctance, but from that day on, he doing his job for the Lord, became the best king of Bavaria in the history. He never came back to the monastery, and he kept in the palace. But he changed his attitude, changed his mind, changed his plan, became a most famous king, his name Henry. King Henry in Bavaria. Hope everyone live for the Lord, being a living sacrifice. Let's pray. Dear Father, help us really live a life just like a living sacrifice to satisfy you, to glorify you. Pray in Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.